And let's take our Bibles this morning, open to John chapter 21. We're going to continue in the 21st chapter of John. How many of you like to take tests or some kind of examination? No? I didn't think so. Well, examinations come in all kinds of varieties. There's the infamous pop quizzes that were given in high school. Anybody remember those? The midterms and finals of college, they were always dreaded. But then there were some other examinations that, even though you might have dreaded it, you still look forward to it, such as your driver's examination. Who didn't like taking that one, right, and passing it? Although they're not always pleasant, examinations are necessary in life, are they not? And after Jesus and the disciples enjoyed their breakfast by the sea, Jesus comes to Peter and gives him an examination. And so I've entitled this morning's message, The Examination of Peter. And although this examination was not easy for Peter, it was done in love and with the purpose of restoring Peter. Because remember, Peter had denied Jesus Christ three times. And now Jesus is coming to Peter, giving him this examination that he knows is going to be difficult for Peter, but it's also what's going to change Peter, I believe, forever. And so if you are physically able, if you would please stand with me as we read John chapter 21, we're going to read verses 15 down through verse 19. John 21, starting at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, Feed my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and and another shall gird thee, and carry thee where thou wouldest not. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. 3 points are simply the 3 questions. So if you're taking an outline, question 1, question 2, question 3, of the examination are the points. It was a really simple outline to come up with, I'll tell you. But it's what's in the passage. But what I want us to look at and focus on and emphasize this morning is the fact that you and I must remember that the flesh is weak, but Jesus will restore us when we fail. So let's ask for his guidance, please. Father, again, we do love you and thank you for this passage and this examination of Peter that's given to help us, remind us that when we fail, we can be restored. And Lord, I pray that as we examine this passage this morning, that again you give us wisdom and understanding of your word, that we'd understand that if we have failed, that we should not stay down, but we should get up, be restored, and continue serving you. And Lord, if there's one today that does not know Christ as Savior, I pray that today will be their day of salvation. We'll give you the glory for all that is done, and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Question 1 from verse 15. They had finished eating, and Jesus comes to Peter. And I want us to see, first of all, the purpose of this examination. Why did Jesus examine Peter? As I already mentioned, I believe it was to restore Peter. And we see that in verse 19 when he says, Follow me. He's telling Peter, I'm not done with you yet, Peter. I still have things for you to do. And many times you and I failed Christ as Peter did, because remember, Peter was like, I'm never going to deny you. It doesn't matter what everybody else does. I'll never deny you. But after Peter denied him 3 times, Matthew 26, verse 75, it says, And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me 3. And he went out and wept bitterly. Have you ever, Christian, in your life come to a point where you felt like, I have failed God so badly I can't be used again? That's where Peter was. And Peter's like, it doesn't matter. I failed. I promised him I would never leave him. I promised him that I would never forsake him. I promised that I would be there, and I failed. Aren't you glad that Jesus tenderly comes to us sometimes? And while the restoration may not always be easy, he restores us and puts us back and says, continue to follow me. I'm not done with you yet. But he comes to Peter and he addresses him as Simon, son of Jonas. Now, was it not Jesus who gave him the name Peter? Hold your place here in John and come with me back to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And once you see these words here, Matthew 16, we'll start at verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, Simon, son of Jonas. Same thing he calls him in John 21. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus addresses him as Simon, and I think there's significance to that because Simon means he has heard. Peter means stone. Now, Jesus has said, your name, Peter, stone. And remember, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. Again, a play on words you see in Greek, but you don't see it so much in English. But he said, it says to him now, Simon. Why? Because Peter doesn't feel much like a rock right now, does he? He feels like a failure. So he reminds him, Simon, he has heard. In other words, Simon, listen to me. You need to hear what I'm saying to you. Then he asks, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now the word he uses here is the Greek word agape. It's the highest form of love. It's a selfless, sacrificial love. So he comes to Peter and he says, Peter, lovest thou me? Agape thou me? Do you love me with the highest form of love? That is the desire Jesus, that is the love Jesus desires from you and I. And in this first question in the examination, he adds another phrase. He says, more than these? Peter, do you love me more than these? Now, the way the Greek language is constructed, you can usually tell by the ending of the word, but sometimes the masculine and the neuter have the same ending on it. And so some say, well, this word here is one of those that has this pronoun, more than these, has the same ending for both masculine and neuter. Some say, well, it must be neuter. So what Jesus is asking him is, do you love me more than these things? Because remember, where was Peter? He was out fishing again. Do you love me more than your boats? Do you love me more than the fishing equipment? Do you love me more than your occupation? Now, why that's a good question, and while we should have love for Christ more than the things of this world, I do not believe that is the intent of what Jesus had. I believe rather he was asking this, and it should be translated into masculine, and he's saying, Peter, do you love me more than these? Pointing to the other disciples. You say, why do you believe that, preacher? Because what Peter's response was before is, Lord, it doesn't matter if everybody else forsakes you. I, Peter, will never stop following you, Lord. Remember how proud and arrogant Peter was in his response? Saying, you know what? All these other guys may fail, Jesus, but I never will. Quite an arrogant response, wasn't it, from Peter? Peter didn't see his own frailty. Peter didn't see the weakness of his own flesh. Matter of fact, I'll read you the verse. It was in Matthew 26:33. Peter answered and said to him, though all men be offended because of thee, I will never be offended. Those were Peter's words. He had very arrogantly set himself up above the other disciples, acted as if his love was greater than the other disciples. These guys may fail, Jesus, but I won't. So Jesus in his examination comes, do you love me, Peter, more than these? How that must have cut to the heart of Peter. As Peter realized, he's the one who denied Jesus Christ three times. He failed more miserably than the rest of them. Yes, the rest of them scattered, but you know what? It's never said to the rest of them denying Jesus Christ, is it? Yes, the rest of them forsook him, but it's not said that he stood there and cussed like a sailor, like Peter did, trying to convince these wicked people that he had nothing to do with Jesus. Let's look at Peter's response. The question number one. He said to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He appeals to his omniscience. "Thou knowest, Lord." You see, this is a great change in Peter, because before he's acting like Christ didn't know. "No, Lord, that will never happen to you. Lord, you're wrong. You got it all messed up." Was that not what Peter was telling Jesus before? "Now, Lord, you know all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Now, this is a different Greek word than what Jesus asked. Jesus asked, "Do you agape me?" Peter's response was, "Yes, I phileo you." The word is the brotherly love. It's the word from which we get the word Philadelphia. Peter realized his failure, and he could not come to the point to say, "Jesus, I have that selfless sacrificial love for you. Yes, I have a kind affection to you. Yes, I have a brotherly love to you. But I can't say that I have that because I failed so miserably." And so Peter's response when he says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you," was not using the same word. It was using a lower Greek word for love. He could not bring himself to use that highest Greek word. Peter was a changed, humble man at this point. Then Jesus gives a command. He says, "Feed my lambs." The word "feed" is an imperative. It's a command. It's not an option. "Peter, you feed my lambs." The word here, "feed," has the idea of actually giving food. The lambs is little ones. And you know, we have a responsibility to feed the little ones, not just little ones physically, although we have a nursery to where we have verses being taught and lessons being taught in there, age appropriate. Because honestly, if they were to sit in here, they would probably be bored. They wouldn't catch most of what's being said because this is being done more at an adult level than what they would do in there. But if we were to sit here and we were to give you the same Bible stories the way that we give them in the nursery, you'd all be like, "Why are you treating us like two-year-olds?" Right? It's age appropriate. But also, not only when he says lambs, is he referring to the physically young, but he's referring to the spiritually young. And it was Peter himself who said, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby." We have a responsibility, Christian, to disciple young Christians and help them grow. And he's telling Peter, "Peter, you now have a responsibility to feed my lambs." Now, if question number one wasn't hard enough, Jesus comes up with question number two. Verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He again uses his name Simon, and again uses the same word for love that he used the first time, the agape love, but he did not add the phrase "more than these." Now, why do you suppose Jesus would not add that phrase? Because Peter didn't respond to that phrase. Peter understood his failure, and he would not say that he loved more than the others. Peter just responded for himself. So in the second question, Jesus leaves out that phrase. Then Peter responds, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." His exact same response, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Again, remember, Jesus now twice has asked with the agape love, and both times Peter responds with the phileo love. He will not say, "I have that agape love for you, Jesus." But how this must have hurt Peter to have him say for the second time, "Do you love me?" Can you imagine what must be going through Peter's mind? He must be thinking, could Jesus be ready to tell me of another pending failure? Because remember, Jesus told him, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me thrice, Peter." And Peter's like, "That's never going to happen." But it happened exactly as Jesus said. And could you imagine what must be running through the mind of Peter at this time? Here he's going to tell me again what a great failure I am and how I'm going to fail him again. But that's not how the second question ends. But rather, Jesus says, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Now again, feed is an imperative, but the word for feed here is a different word that was used in verse 15. This word has the idea of shepherd or care or tend or rule or govern. In other words, it's not just about feeding the word, not just giving them the facts of the word, but Peter, you're going to have a responsibility as one of the apostles and starting the New Testament churches, you're going to have a responsibility of helping shepherd those people. Now, Peter understood this responsibility. Hold your place here in John and come with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter writes, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. Remember, elder here is another term for pastor, okay? And a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Boy, what a different Peter writing this. He says, listen, you take, when you pastor not for money's sake, not by constraint, but willingly, doing it as service to the Lord, understanding that you work for the great shepherd, and you're just an under shepherd, not being lords. In other words, don't be a dictator over the people, but live as an example. What a difference this is between the Peter of, Lord, I'll never deny you. That's not going to happen. All these other guys, they might get offended. I could see that happening with them, yeah, but not me. What a different Peter is writing to these elders, saying, be an example to the flock. By the way, that exhortation, yes, it is written to pastors, but let me ask you, should it not be all of our desire and all of our responsibility to live a life that others can pattern their life after? By the way, if you notice, it doesn't say example, it actually says ensample, which has that idea of a pattern. Now, my mom used to do a lot of sewing, and she had all these patterns, and she cut out these patterns, and then she'd lay them out on the fabric, and then she'd take the scissors, and she would cut right along the lines and get the pattern. And then she'd sew it all together and miraculously look like something. I never understood how that all worked, but whatever, okay? You get the idea of you follow the pattern. So it should be for your and my life. Now, another example is a typewriter. Now, for these young people to have no clue what that is, that was a machine where when you hit the key, it had this little thing that would come up and had the letter on it, and it would smack against the ribbon and push it against the paper and then leave an imprint of the letter there. So your and my life should be that type of example that others can pattern their life after. Are you one that if somebody were to lay their life against yours and pattern their life after yours, that they would lead them to a life of righteousness and a life of godliness? Would it bring them closer to God if they were patterned their life after yours? Yes or no? Only you can answer that. Feed my sheep. As I said, it's a shepherd, care, rule, govern. The sheep are mature sheep, not just young ones, but this is referring to mature sheep, older sheep. Again, Acts 20, verse 28, take heed thereto unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Well, I'm sure by this time, Peter's about ready for this examination to be over. But Jesus comes and asks him one more question. Verse 17, he saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? This time Jesus asks a different question. You don't see it here in the English. But this time he comes to him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? The word love is phileo. Jesus changed the word. Why would he do that? because he understood Peter feels like such a failure, he can't bring himself to say, I have that agape love for you, Jesus. So Jesus, and aren't you glad he does this for us, comes down and says, okay then, Peter, do you really have that phileo, do you have that brotherly love for me? Because he wants him to be able to say, yes, Lord, that is what I have, and be able to use the same word. Peter was grieved, it tells us, because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? The word grieved has the idea of being pained or saddened or sorrowful. You see, he denied Jesus three times, and this examination consisted of three questions. This is the third time he asked him, and I can only imagine going through Peter's mind is, I denied him three times. That's why he's asked me three times, do I love him? Jamison, Fawcett, and Brown put in their commentary, the third time reveals it all, bringing up such a rush of dreadful recollections before his view of his thrice denying that he knew him, that he feels it to the quick. It was fitting that he should. It was meant that he should. But this accomplished a painful dialogue concluded with a delightful, feed my sheep, as if he would say, now Simon, the last speck of cloud which overhung thee since that night of nights is dispelled, henceforth thou art to me and to my work as if no such scene had ever happened. What a beautiful way of putting it. Peter grieves because he realized that he had failed Christ. He realized that this was purposely asking him three times because of his denying him three times. But Jesus says to him, Peter says back to Jesus, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Again, Peter, appealing to the omniscience of Christ, you know all things, Lord, and you know that I love you. Again, using phileo love. Jesus says to him, feed my sheep. Now, this word feed is the same word used in verse 15. It's not the shepherding, it's the giving food. Give food to the sheep, Peter. You take care of my sheep. Continue to preach the word. And I like the way the commentator put it. Now, Simon, the last speck of the cloud which overhung thee since the night of nights is dispelled. Henceforth, thou art to me and to my work as if no such scene had ever happened. In other words, Jesus says, okay, Peter, it's time to put this behind you. I have work for you to do. Move forward. Peter, it's not time to go back a-fishing. It's not time to go back to the fishing boats. It's not time to sit here and wallow in self-pity. It is time for you, Peter, now to realize I have forgiven you. It's time for you, Peter, to realize you have a work to do. And listen, Christian, there are many times that when you and I fail Christ, Satan wants to keep rubbing it in our face and reminding us how you failed because he doesn't want you to get up and keep serving him. He would rather you wallow in self-pity. But Jesus is trying to encourage you. I am willing to restore you. I'm willing to forgive you. Get up. Let's go. There's work to be done. Then he gives him comfort. Verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thou wouldest not. You see, what is that all about? Peter, when you were young and strong, and you would gird yourself up and you would do whatever you wanted, but when you are old, now think about that phrase, when you are old, is Peter an old man yet? What was Jesus promising Peter? That he was going to have a life ahead of him yet. Matter of fact, do we not see just not too long after this in the book of Acts that Peter is to be killed in the morning and he's fast asleep before the soldiers and the angel has to come in and wake him up and drag him out of the prison? Why? Because I think partly because Peter realized, hey, Jesus told me when I'm old, this is how I'm going to die, and it's not by beheading, and I'll get to that in just a minute. So I'm not going to die tomorrow, even though I'm supposed to. Somehow I'm going to make it through this. So Peter falls fast asleep. It says, when you are old, another is going to gird thee and carry thou what thou wouldest not. How did Peter die? Peter died by crucifixion. And Jesus is telling him, verse 19 tells us, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. In other words, he's telling him, Peter, when you're old, this is how you're going to die. This is going to how you're going to be glory to me, because, Peter, it's not time for you to die. You have work yet to do. And he's saying also, then, this is how you're going to glorify me, which means, Peter, there's work to be done. Now, it is said Peter refused to be crucified as his Lord and requested that they turn the cross upside down. What a change in Peter's life. That even when he was crucified, he says, I can't be crucified like Jesus was. I don't deserve that. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. All right, Peter, the examination is over. You passed. Now follow me. There's work to be done. He gently reminds him, remain focused on him. And we see from this time forward, except for what we're going to examine next week in verses 20 and 21, when Peter has this little still looking around, what about everybody else, Lord? What are you going to do with all them? We'll talk about that next week, Lord willing. But we see a changed Peter who took his eyes off of self and focused on Jesus Christ and him alone. Christian, God is trying to bring each of us to that point in our lives where we stop focusing on self and focus on him alone. But Peter had to go through this examination in order to get to that point. Now, do you think this was a pleasant examination for Peter? No, it's probably worse than most of your college finals. But does Jesus Christ still do the same thing for us? Oh, not physically standing there, audibly talking to us. But when you and I fail, how many times, Christian, have you come to the Word of God and you start reading and it's that same type of restoration where God reminds you, yes, Christian, you have failed, but I still love you and I will forgive you and I will restore you and there's still work to be done. So don't sit there and wallow in self-pity, but get up and get busy. While we do not like examinations, they're necessary in life. Peter had failed and denied the Lord 3 times. But Jesus tenderly comes to him by that seashore and gives him this examination of 3 questions. And with these 3 questions, he restores Peter and helps Peter refocus on following Christ. I don't know where each of you may be in your life, but perhaps you have failed the Lord, and perhaps you feel like Peter, I'm just going to quit. Let me tell you, I've been there. I've been there many times. And I'm going to be very frank with you. I was having a conversation with another preacher just a few weeks ago. And both of us said, how many times in ministry, you read the qualifications of pastors, and we know ourselves. And he and I both agreed, there's many times you read those qualifications and you think, wow, I don't fit these. What in the world am I doing? And he and I both discussed how both of us at times have actually sat down and started writing our resignation letters because we feel such failures. This is exactly what Peter went through. He was ready to write his resignation letter, if you will. But the Lord had to come to him and say, I'm not done with you yet. And this other preacher and I agreed. It's amazing God's grace to us. Because although we fail him, although many times feel unqualified for this position as pastor, God has considered me faithful and placed me here. Understand, I'm going to let you know a little secret because some got this strange idea. We preachers don't have it all together. We're humans. We're sinners saved by grace, just as you are. But my desire is to live for Christ and be, let my life be that example, be that pattern that others can follow. And if I'm going to do that, that means I can't quit. And neither can you, Christian. You say, nobody's looking up to me. Let me tell you something. Every one of you in this room that names the name of Jesus Christ has somebody looking up to you and looking for an example, and your life better be a pattern that they can follow because they are following you. And if you look at the life of Peter and say, you know what? Peter failed, but he was restored. And you look in your own life and you say, you know what? I have failed, and I've been wallowing in self-pity, and it's time for me to be restored because I need to be that example for others to follow. Then let me challenge you, get that right with God today, because others are looking to you for an example. Everyone in this room that applies to. Just the fact that you mentioned and named the name of Christ, others are looking to you to be an example. Let's bow for a word of prayer.